Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's intentional grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
All right, welcome in. The Bears season is mercifully over. They finished 3-13 with a pretty uncompetitive loss today here at U.S. Bank Stadium, beautiful U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Great stadium. Not a great game today, though. The highlight, as it's Adam Hogue and Adam Johns with you, as always, here on Intentional Grounding, episode 76, the Steve Mongo McMichael episode. The highlight of this game were two people hanging from a banner throughout the entire, most of the game, started in the first quarter, went all the way to the end in a protest. In fact, that banner is still hanging as I look up in the rafters right now.
They stayed there, or they unfurled their banner and dropped down from some beam support in the second quarter and stayed there until the conclusion of this horrendous football game, at least from the Bears' perspective. But yes, it was entertaining for, I think, a lot of the Chicago media members who we were witnessing another abysmal game. I don't even know what to make out of it because there's a lot of guys playing that won't be on this team next year. It is what it is at this point. The Bears are 3-13. They got the number 3 pick. And like you said, the season is mercifully over.
Yeah, I don't think this game ends up being the story today at all, other than they really weren't competitive, which kind of adds to a storyline the last couple weeks. It's just not a very strong way to end a year for a team that at least had been competing in some of these games and were close to some victories. So I think that does matter. You got the protest, which was a Dakota Access Pipeline protest today, for those that didn't see the game. Just bizarre. Never seen anything like that before. I'm still trying to get over, though, Alshon Jeffrey just moments ago in the Bears locker room guaranteeing that the Bears would win the Super Bowl next year. And just as proof that he actually said that, here is him saying it himself.
Do you think this team has enough, if you were here next year, to be a contender?
I guarantee you we'll win the Super Bowl next year. We had a lot of injuries. I don't think no team in the league had a lot of injuries. As much injuries as us.
So there he is. Justifying the injuries as a reason that they can win the Super Bowl next year. Now, if they're going to be better, sure, that's conceivable. But that for a guy who doesn't say a lot, that was a weird thing for Alshon to say.
He would even say if he was going to be on that Super Bowl winning team.
Maybe he's talking about the Patriots. Maybe he's going to be on New England next year.
wouldn't that be something? I'm trying to think of other contenders where he would fit in, you know, quite nicely. But his story is one definitely to watch in this offseason. It's going to be a very busy offseason for these Bears. They got question marks, one at receiver because of Alshon Jeffrey's future, Eddie Royal's future, Kevin White's injury situation. What the heck are you going to do at quarterback? I do think the Bears, notwithstanding this performance by Matt Barkley today or last week, I still think they view him semi-highly, and maybe he gets another crack to come back. But big question in quarterback, does Jay Cutler come back? Does Brian Hoyer come back? Does Matt Barkley come back? Does Connor Shaw come back? Just a lot of questions about this football team. And let's face it, this is a rebuilding football team. Try not to get too carried away about what you saw in Week 17 here. But to me, a takeaway from this is a lot of needs. They need a lot of good players. They need first-round picks to play and be healthy. I think the Vikings had 3 first-round picks in their secondary, while the Bears had none on their game day roster today.
That's crazy. 0 first-round picks playing on the field today. And I guess I shouldn't completely dismiss what happened on the field, because Matt Barkley did not bounce back strong from last week's poor performance, and that does matter. And as much as John Fox completely dismissed the idea of playing David Fales in this game, he did end up playing David Fales, and when asked about it afterwards, he said, well, we wanted to get a look at him. We wanted to evaluate him. We haven't seen much of him. Why he couldn't have put that out there earlier in the week as a possibility, who knows? The Vikings didn't look caught off guard, I'll say that.
I think that's a bunch of baloney. I mean, let's be honest. The game was well in hand. I almost feel like they did it to protect Matt Barkley in a way, because the Vikings, they were getting to Barkley. There was no one open in the secondary. He was getting thrown around. There was the sack strip that I guess was – he was nearly down. He did have two bad interceptions, although on one of them it appeared that Cam Meredith was grabbed and kind of restricted to come back to the ball. It was a timing route. But, look, the game was out of hand. Why risk – I get what he's saying. It's not like David Fales did poorly or whatever. I think it's a bunch of baloney. I think Matt Barkley is getting thrown around. I think they know what David Fales already is. They let him go before this season. They brought him back, even though they tried to sign other quarterbacks. So it is what it is. It's just – you're right, though, in saying that Matt Barkley needed to respond from last week's five-interception game. He definitely did not. If anything, that maybe decreases his value if they want to re-sign him. So maybe that helps the Bears in some sense. But, yeah, it's just a lot of things went wrong for the Bears in this game. Matt Barkley, Jeremy Langford, Jordan Howard puking on the sideline. A lot of weird things today.
Tracy Porter slept in, which I did too. I didn't wake up to my alarm. I had to rush here to get to our beautiful stadium tour that we got this morning. But, yeah, this just wasn't a strong finish to the season. And I guess the David Fales thing in the grand scheme of things doesn't really matter, but I just don't understand why John Fox has to be that evasive sometimes. And he was at times after the game today, but there were also some significant answers, I think, from John Fox after this game, being asked about his future, whether or not he wants to return. Which I think is a fair question, too. Here's John Fox in its entirety after the game. It's worth hearing as the Bears finish a 3-13 campaign.
All right, injuries from the game. Jonathan Banks, ankle, left the game, did not return. Jonathan Anderson, linebacker, hamstring, did not return. Very late in the game, Cravon LeBlanc got his knee landed on again, same one he had last week, and he did not return, but it was very late. Probably wasn't reported. Any questions?
John, the final two games of the season outscored 79-31. How do you process the ending?
Well, you go minus 10, and when you give the ball away that many times, math usually doesn't work very good. So, you know, really the last three games of the year, I think we were, you know, 5-5-4 even against Green Bay, and, you know, had a chance to winning Green Bay, kept it close, but these last two, you know, became problematic.
When you get at the end, you just want to get mad at Tyler?
Well, we just want to look at David. We had not seen him. Neither one of those quarterbacks were even on our team in camp. So, you know, again, it's an opportunity for us to evaluate.
John, it's a crazy league. Have you asked for or received an assurance that you'll be back next year?
You know, I really haven't. I think at the end of the day, I've been doing this for a long time. I've never worried about job security, and, you know, I'm not going to start now.
Do you have a sense, though? I mean, should we expect that you would be? Given...
You know, one thing I've learned about this league is, you know, a lot of different things can happen. But, you know, again, I'm not going to get into all that now. Try to get over this loss.
From your vantage point, what do you sense has been established this season, the last two seasons combined?
Well, I think, you know, we've made a lot of roster changes. I think some of them this year, not by design, due to injury. I think it's given us a chance to, you know, find out about guys like Cam Meredith, you know, Jordan Howard. You know, a lot of young guys on the roster that, you know, probably further down the depth chart to begin with. I think we've built depth, which we did not have, and, you know, you saw very early, even in the preseason, when you line up against, you know, playoff teams. It's a very good indicator, you know, that you play your first really for a quarter, and then, you know, the seconds and thirds play a lot. So, you know, my thought is we probably need to improve front line, but, you know, as well as our depth, I think is something that's we've gotten better at. I feel better about that this year, this time this year than I did this time last year. You know, we'll see where it goes.
Does evaluating your coaching staff become one of the first things you do as you head into the offseason here?
I think you evaluate everything, our whole season. You know, I think from, you know, injuries to, you know, turnovers, their lack of. I mean, just evaluate the whole season. That includes, you know, everybody involved.
And you have final say over your
coaching staff? Yeah, I've never really gotten into all that final say stuff. You know, I think when you have people that look at things logically, you usually come to the same conclusion. Yeah, I think good. Yeah, I think, you know, about as, you know, I don't think it's easy for anybody. I know it's not easy for you guys. I know it's not easy for us or our fans. But, you know, going through 3-13 is never easy, regardless of what coach or personalities or whatever you're referring to. I wouldn't want to single out one guy. You know, but, you know, it's a very competitive game.
Going through a tough season. Did you ever question whether this was a job that you wanted to do? And is that evaluation looking ahead? Is this a job that you want to return?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, you know, you start something, you want to finish it. Yeah, I think, you know, compared to situations that I was in, chose to leave, you know, this is the job I wanted. You know, I think a lot of this organization, I think a lot of this city, I think a lot of the tradition of this team, I've worked in a couple different organizations similar as far as been around for a long time. But it's definitely a job I want to finish.
John, is there a reason Tracy did not start for
this? Yeah, he overslept, was late, and we had him not start.
I know your focus has been on this game and this season. If you have an opportunity to coach the Senior Bowl, is that something that you would be interested in?
Well, I've never done it in 27 years, and they've changed how they do that. So I really can't comment other than I think you get a chance to watch guys and work with guys that, you know, almost like you had them in your training camp. So I can see the benefits, but I really can't speak too much to it because I've never done it before.
Obviously, you're focused on the field, but did you at all notice what was going on with the protests and the rap?
No, I don't. I mean, I have no clue.
John, Jordan finishes with a new franchise record. Your thoughts on just the continued progress and development he made from August until now?
Well, I think, you know, I've said, you know, all season long as he started having success, you know, I think, you know, aside from the obvious, you know, his physical talents, you know, big, strong, you know, punishing, good yards after contact, he's got good vision. All those things. I think the thing that impresses you the most is, for a young guy, his humility. And he brings that to work every day, and it's very easy to see why he's successful.
What's the difference between Barkley's first two or three games and his last?
You know, I think he could speak to that probably more than myself. But, you know, the guy, you know, all those guys gave everything they had. You know, and again, you know, I wouldn't want to be critical of him, you know, other than I think it was a good learning experience for him, one he had not had a lot of in this league. And, you know, I'll let him answer that.
Now that it's over, 19 guys in injury reserve, how does this season compare to others that you've endured as a head coach in terms of injuries?
You know, again, I'd have to go back and research it. You know, that's something we are going to do about injuries. But I'd say this was probably the highest number. I know it was a lot higher than last year, and, you know, the last 5 years I've been a head coach.
On the trick play there, have you guys thought about using that in the past, or and why is it right then?
Again, it's, you know, a play we've had in for some time, and didn't really present itself, you know, until today.
Okay, so I think the key points in there that are significant, John Fox said he has not been assured that he will return next season. He also made it very clear, though, he wants to return. He wants to finish what he started. I also would go back to something Akeem Hicks told me in the locker room after the game, and that has been evident to them, according to Akeem, that John Fox has never showed any ounce of quit this season in how he's addressed the team, run practices, or anything like that. And I think for a while that was showing up on the football field, maybe until the last 2 weeks of the season. And quite frankly, that could just be the attrition finally catching up with the Bears, because it was pretty bad. So what's just your reaction to what John Fox had to say about his future? It's going to be a couple days till we hear from Ryan Pace, who's supposed to talk to us on Wednesday. And we think John Fox will talk on Wednesday too again, or at least be part of the season-ending press conference.
Well, the NFL Network, Fox Sports, and ESPN all reported what we've considered to be the coming reality here in Chicago for quite a while, I think, especially this podcast, that John Fox, they all reported that John Fox would return for his third season and that major changes aren't anticipated. That's been how we've conveyed news here on this podcast. We've been of that same mindset for a while, so no real big surprise there. I guess the real unknown in all this is what George McCaskey wants to do, whether he's pissed off again or his mother, Virginia, is pissed off again. Because let's be honest, this game is one where you should be pissed off over what happened to your football team, the one that you own. They were demolished by a divisional rival, 38-10. It did not look good in any facet. All three phases failed. A lot of turnovers, a lot of bad play, missed tackles galore. A very bad outing for the Chicago Bears. But he's promised to be patient with Ryan Pace. He's promised to be patient with John Fox. Blowing it up in 2 years after blowing it up with Mark Trestman and Phil Emery, I don't know if that's the wisest thing to do. There's some value in continuity. And we did hear from Ryan Pace a little bit in his WBBM 780 pregame, his weekly pregame interview with Jeff Joniak. And he kind of commended Fox and the coaching staff a little bit and kind of admitted that this is going to be a process that everybody needs to be patient with. He didn't use the word rebuild, but let's be honest, this is what it is. And it's going to take time. It's going to take growing pains. And it's the one benefit of having all these injuries. You have a lot of young players playing. But look, if there's anything to be made out of this game, it's just being curious of how George McCaskey feels about the direction of his football team.
So what are you thinking about? Maybe changes way above Ryan Pace as a possibility, or just that he could potentially override the thinking here and make changes himself?
If you're thinking about bringing in a consultant, like those absurd Bill Polian rumors from a few weeks ago, look, Ryan Pace didn't sign up for that. Right. He signed up to be in charge of your football operation. He signed up convincing you that this team needed a major overhaul. So if you're kind of taking away his power, which you would be doing in a situation like that, then I think Ryan Pace would want out. And then you're completely hitting the detonation button again, and you're going to go on for another GM search, onto another coaching search. And, you know, they may not like Leonard Floyd. They may not like Akeem Hicks, all these players who had flashed and done so well this season. So what are you doing to your team again? Are you setting yourself back up for another second coming of a rebuild? There's value in continuity. I don't know if you want to meddle too much. But, again, I think it's kind of worth wondering to how George McCaskey feels about the direction of this football team after 2 years of John Fox and Ryan Pace.
Yeah, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. You're absolutely right. That would be undermining Ryan Pace's authority if they did anything like that, and it would just speak to more confusion about what the direction is here, what the plan is. And I know fans are frustrated, but I agree with kind of what you just said. It would delay whatever progress there has been with the roster, and I do think there has been some, and I do think this depth chart will look a little bit better, you know, come spring when you get another talent cycle in here. And that's actually something John Fox said after the game. You heard it a few moments ago. He said he feels better about the depth at the end of week 17 this year than he did last year. And he also said this was the worst, you know, now that he's got the whole season to reflect on, this has been the worst injury season he's been a part of. So I think all that stuff is fair. The way that they ended the season, these two uninspiring efforts against Washington and Minnesota, is pretty disappointing. But you don't make decisions based off of these last two games. I mean, if you were sitting here waiting to see what happens today to make a decision, then you have much bigger problems.
Yeah, you have to take emotion out of the equation because you're going to make wrong decisions when emotion, I think, is involved. I think that's – you don't make sound business decisions when emotion is part of those business decisions. And, look, I get it. It's ugly. Things did not look good here at U.S. Bank Stadium other than the view the protesters had dangling from the rafters here. They had the best view all game. But, look, this is – we've been pretty clear about this on this podcast, I think, Adam. This is a rebuild. I don't think we expected 3-13, but we expected a losing season, 8-8 at best. Now, I think they left some wins on the table, the Colts game, the Jaguars game. Those are games they could have won, but 19 players on IR, $66 million worth of money on IR. And these are key players, Pro Bowl players. Jarrell Freeman called them five-star players. That's a lot of talent lost from your team. You're throwing a lot of young guys out there in the mix. I mean, the Bears also had players playing today that not only were they starting, but they probably don't even belong in the NFL. I almost said NHL. Time to move on, right? It's just the truth of things. So, yeah, we'll see how George McCaskey feels. We'll hear from Ryan Pace later this week, but I wouldn't use the last 2 weeks as your decision making.
What about potential coaching changes underneath John Fox? Because that's something that I think will at least be discussed as they kind of hold their meetings the next 2 days and determine what changes, if any, should be made. I don't necessarily want to say definitively what I think is going to happen, but if I had to make odds, I think the most favorable odds is that Dow Loggins and Vic Fangio are both back. Although I will say John Fox is the answer today when he was directly asked about his relationship with Vic Fangio, wasn't exactly convincing.
Well, look, John Fox hasn't been exactly convincing with a lot of his words.
That's true.
Yeah, with a lot of things. And I get it. That's just misdirection is his thing when he's at the lectern and podiums and whatnot. I think there's something to be said, again, for continuity. I think, you know, if John Fox is coming back, I think, you know, if he's getting – I don't want to say it's a free pass, but if injuries are part of his evaluation, they should be part of Vic Fangio's and Dow Loggins' evaluation. I mean, Loggins is down to Matt Barkley, who didn't get signed to the Bears roster until September 5th, who didn't take first-team snaps until the week of Thanksgiving. So he was their fourth quarterback, their fourth starting quarterback since the preseason. So that's part of his evaluation. Vic Fangio is playing Jonathan Banks at cornerback. I mean, he's playing C.J. Wilson at nose tackle. He's playing Nick Kwiatkowski, a draft pick who they love. I get it, but he's probably playing a bit too much at this point in his career. They didn't want him to be a multi-game starter in his career. They wanted to ease him in. You got Demontre Hurst out there. You got Adrian Amos missing tackles. So, look, you know, if John Fox, again, is – if his evaluation is going to be muddled by all the injuries, I think the evaluations of Vic Fangio and Dow Loggins and all their assistants underneath them should be muddled by all the injuries, because it's just fair if Fox is getting that.
As we kind of wrap things up in this 2016 season, I don't necessarily think we need to dive into specifics about this game here today. Let's just keep it to our biggest concerns and answers, I guess, for the entire year. And we'll have more time to get into more of this after we hear John Fox and Ryan Pace talk this week. We'll have another episode of Intentional Grounding later on in the week as we kind of really wrap things up, as once we know what changes, if any, are going to come down. But just kind of more generally, biggest concern going forward, I think it's just how quickly can you infuse this roster with more talent before the patience runs out, if that makes sense, because this is such a trigger-happy league. There is no patience in the NFL. We're seeing that today as we get reports of the 49ers blowing everything up. I just think it's important for there to be some patience, but at the same time, you have to deliver results, and I think at the way the season went, it's fair that John Fox certainly goes into 2017 on the hot seat, right? And so can the talent come in the next 6 months before the Bears report to Bourbonnais again, enough to make a significant jump forward in 2017, because that needs to happen. After 2 years, they're at the point where they can't go 3-13 next year. I mean, they got to be closer to 500, if not better.
Yeah, year three was always considered, or I've always considered it, the year to truly evaluate what's going on with John Fox and Ryan Pace. Pace, in particular, talking about needing three off seasons, your draft and your free agency and your undrafted free agency to really acquire and overhaul his roster with new players. So year three has always stood out to me. There is value in patience, and I think this organization needs patience, because when Phil Emery was here, he was talking about multiple championships and promising this and the other. And look, they needed a lot of work. His teams needed a lot of work, and he tried to buy his way out of it. So you have to at least be appreciative of what Ryan Pace is trying to do, build his team through the draft, which does require endless amounts of patience. But there is no guarantees this will work. You look at the Jaguars and Gus Bradley, who was fired this year. They gave him a lot of patience. Look at even Cincinnati and Marvin Lewis. Yeah. He's gotten a ton of patience from that organization. And, yes, they've gone to the playoffs, and, yes, they've won some ball games, but they seem destined for at least a coaching overhaul. So patience is valuable. I think this organization needs it right now after the disastrous end to the Mark Trestman, Phil Emery era. I think patience is so important right now. But patience does not guarantee you those winning results that you so desperately need.
As for the biggest answer, I think Jordan Howard was the biggest answer the entire season. I think Cody Whitehair is an honorable mention on the offensive line. But really, in terms of definitive answers, I think Jordan Howard is the most obvious one. Everywhere else, I mean, even Leonard Floyd, there were flashes, there were some good signs, but there were also some major concerns, including two concussions in just over a month. So I think there's plenty of questions with him going forward. Definitive answers, I think Jordan Howard and Cody Whitehair are clearly two kids they brought in, good draft picks that are going to be a big part of this offense going forward.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things, I think, about this rookie class. I know we talked about them earlier on a podcast, just a couple of days ago. I like the promise. Howard delivered again today. I think Cody Whitehair, he deserves a lot more attention for even some of Howard's big games this year. Just a steady, reliable performer who had never played center of his entire life until week one, where he's preparing for the Houston Texans and Vince Wilfork. Just an impressive season overall for him. Those are the two, I think, they're mainstays on this offense. Yes, you want Leonard Floyd to stay healthy, but look, there's a lot of concerns about this football team. There's health. That's a priority, I think, this offseason. You got some of your best players rehabbing after major surgeries. I think you got a lot of question marks, a lot of different positions.
By the way, speaking of health, I've now heard John Fox and Ryan Pace both allude multiple times to the idea that they're going to look into that. You know, how you come up with less injuries. To me, that means a deep evaluation of all the people behind the scenes that help get these guys healthy. So if we're going to talk about changes, that is one area where I would not be surprised if there are changes made.
I still think football is football sometimes. Guys are going to break bones. Guys are going to have their ankles rolled. Guys are going to get concussions because it's still football in its nature is a violent sport. So I get what they're saying. I still chalk it up to some major bad luck. Like look at the Kyle Long situation. Blown play. Paul Lisicki on a shuffle pass. And it was just part of the overall, I guess, storyline of the season. Bad luck, bad injuries. It is what it is. I know what you're saying. There's a lot of things the Bears have to evaluate after the season, especially with injuries being such a major storyline. But football is still football to me.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for us here at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. We're assuming we're going to get out of here safely without going to jail like the protesters earlier, which I assume are going to end up in a jail cell at some point tonight here in Minnesota. But it's fun doing these with you all season after the game. Kind of an added bonus as we went into year two of intentional grounding. Tough under some circumstances and having to get on planes and things like that. But I think the response from our listeners was good, and we're happy that we've been able to sneak into coaching booths and radio booths and corners of these stadiums and get these short post-game episodes to you on Intentional Grounding. And we'll be back later this week. There's going to be stuff that happens at Hallis Hall. There's going to be plenty to talk about going forward, and we need to still figure out which one of us is going to win our picks for the season, because I mean, Clemson just took it to your Buckeyes yesterday. It was great.
I don't even want to talk about that because I wanted to pick Clemson, but you talked, you made an emotional plea to my heart, to the Buckeyes, and I wavered. Yeah, it wasn't good. Let me just say this about the podcast. It's been fun, but year three is when we're really supposed to be evaluated. You just wait to the big things. We're a Super Bowl winning team next year, not the Bears, us. For next season.
I like it. I like it. Right now, we've stalled out maybe in the championship game. How about that? And if for those who are keeping track of the picks, which I know everyone's just hanging on, you know, a thread wondering who's going to win, I now have a one-game lead. However, the Giants are up 10-0 as we record this right now, which we differed on. That would go in your favor. If that holds on, because the Washington was a 7.5-point favorite, it's not looking good for me. This whole thing will be decided on the Rose Bowl on Monday between USC and Penn State. I had USC. You had Penn State. That'll be fun to have it come down to that, especially I know there's going to be a viewing party at Hallis Hall tomorrow as the Rose Bowl goes on, I think. All right, let's wrap it up. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here at U.S. Bank Stadium. Intentional Grounding, episode 76. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where all of our post-game reaction will be up for you to consume. Subscribe for free to the podcast on iTunes, and please rate the podcast, review it. If you enjoyed these all year long, that gets us a little bit more exposure on iTunes, more people listening to it, so it helps grow the podcast and helps you as a listener consume it. So we appreciate you being here all year long with us. We'll be back later in the week as we continue to wrap up a dismal 2016 season. But hey, it's 2017. Happy New Year, everybody.